darkness, not understanding the truth, being led by a spirit who they themselves are in the darkness. If the devil would have known that crucifying Jesus was going to destroy him, he would have never crucified Jesus. Therefore, his wisdom, the Bible says in Ezekiel 28, I think, where it talks about Lucifer, thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. He was corrupted.
His Check one, two.
Was corrupted by his own beauty. So the devil's wisdom now is dark wisdom. Hence the word Wicca, witch, and wizard, and one who is a vizier. All of these are practitioners of the dark arts, and the wisdom that they have is dark wisdom, evil. Does that make sense now, what those words mean? And why, since those words mean that, God said, I don't want you to be a witch. I don't want you to be a Wiccan. I don't want you to have wizardry and the knowledge of the dark arts. I don't want you to have that. I'm going to give you a knowledge that'll surpass every bit of that. And I'll give it to you for free. You won't have to perform any tricks. You won't have to say any secret code words. I'll just give you that wisdom. The book of James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him go to the Father and ask him who giveth liberally to all men. It's one of the few places where you find that God's a liberal.
I have two books in my bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snakes, Chuck! I hate them!
And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Yippee-ki-yay! This is Pastor Mike. This is the talk show Hell Hates, coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker. Right here at Area 52, Pastor Mike and I'm online and I'm live with you today, praying for the people of the Houston, Corpus Christi, Galveston area, everybody affected by the horrendous floodwaters that are down there. Got a call from a gentleman earlier today that he and his wife escaped the area, went to Florida. His wife is trying to survive cancer right now. And so you pray for them, but was afraid that he lost his house. And the word that he got from his neighbors was that the house was damaged by the hurricane itself. Excuse me, some windows broken. Maybe some shingle damage, maybe some of the rain blew into the house, but that is a far cry from the actual floodwaters getting into your house. Back in 1993, we had in this area, we are right next to the Mississippi River. And we had in 1993 what they call a 500-year flood, a flood that occurs about every 500 years, and it was a horrendous flood. We're talking about floodwaters that encompass the area for well over 100 days. We're not talking about flash floods. It was a combination of a large amount of snow up north, Minnesota, Iowa, and all of that drains down into the St. Louis area. And so all of that melted off, and then it was one rainstorm after another moving through central Iowa. And all of that water coming down the Mississippi River, all of it coming down the tributaries. The tributaries are not able to hold the water that's coming down them, and the Mississippi River is backing up into the tributaries. And we're talking floodwaters for over 100 days. Whole towns being completely flooded out. And I did some contracting back then with drywall and painting and so on, and was hired to rehab some of the houses after. It was a lot of work for those who were in construction at that time. And just getting rid of the mold itself. And mold is a huge problem after any kind of flooding, because that mold sets in, and that mold can be deadly. It can actually kill people. And so the mold sets in almost immediately, and once a house has been flooded out, all of the carpet, all the flooring has to come up, all of the drywall has to come out of that house. The interior framing has to be sprayed with mold killer. And then, of course, new drywall, maybe some new electrical wires, new insulation, new flooring, things like that. I mean, it is a task. And we're talking about probably in the hundreds of thousands of homes, maybe tens of thousands, I don't know, that have been damaged by floodwaters. But their home, from what they hear, not damaged by the flooding itself, just some rain that came in and a little bit of damage by the hurricane. And, you know, you take life's blessings. You know, when you get hit, you thank God you didn't get hit harder. And so anyway, this is one family that follows our ministry. They call themselves members of our church, online members, and we appreciate that. And so anyway, you pray for them and lift them up, that God would be able to get them back in their home soon, that they would get the repairs made that need to be made, that his wife recovers from cancer. And some people wonder why sometimes everything just falls on them all at once. Well, remember Job. And remember that Job was innocent. Job had done nothing wrong. And yet God allowed Satan to attack Job's family, his property, and then Job's health. And through all of that, Job thanked God. He worshiped God, realized that our life is but a vapor. And I told the missus today, I said, let's pray that God blesses you. And he will, because whether you survive the cancer in this body or you survive the cancer with a new body, that's a blessing from God. And so pray for them and pray for countless others that have been devastated by this. We here in the St. Louis area, it's cloudy today, and it's Hurricane Harvey clouds, but we probably won't get any rain out of that, all right? So just lift them up in your prayers and pray for all of them. And I was thinking about God speaking to Job out of the whirlwind, and I'm going to show that scripture. And I'm going to show what that means here in just a little bit. By the way, I saw this, I printed this out the other day, and I'm not going to read it. He asked me not to read it, but Danny, who goes by the name of Dan Bourne, I'm just letting you know that I got your prayer request here. I've read it, and I appreciate you sharing that with me, and I will be praying for the situation that you sent to me. All right, I want you to... there's a story here. I want to get to it. I don't know that I want to do it right this minute. I've got 2 hours here, so I'm going to try to move through one part, the first part of Pastor Mike Online, and just talk about God's signature in his creation. And I love to talk about this. Somebody wrote me an email and said that they loved the series that I did on the body. They enjoyed it. They appreciated it. And I tell you, if one day God wants me to be serious and talk about sin and talk about our disobedience to God and talk about hell, I mean, I'll do it. I would rather talk about the wonder of God's Word, how brilliant our Bible is, how amazing God's creation is. I would much rather talk about the organization, the order that God created everything in, our bodies being the temple, and all that pertains to that. I'd much rather talk about that than the Illuminati and the Masons and the, you know, the Bohemian Grove people and how everything's bad and getting worse. I'd much rather talk about how good God is. But I'm going to talk about both. I'm going to end up talking a little bit about DNA today. God's signature in the formation of DNA. And then transition over to this story here. The word chimera is in this story. And, by the way, you probably heard me. I had a hot mic on before the show. I got my sound effects fixed. Did you hear that? You heard it, didn't you? Okay. I finally figured out what setting to set it in. All right. But the word chimera is in this article. And let's see if I can find it here. It was unreal. I wasn't expecting that. And when I read it, in my mind, I went... See, I got it to work. But it's for the children. We're doing it to save our children. The word chimera is going to save our children, right? I think Jesus is better off being heeded when he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And I would rather have my children in the hands of Jesus Christ than some Dr. Frankenstein mad scientist experimenting with messing with and altering DNA. I would rather have my children, my grandchildren, in the arms of Jesus where they are safe rather than be experimented on by some quack doctor. I would rather my children be taken care of by the actual God, the Creator, rather than a doctor who thinks he's God. That's what I would rather have. You know what? Let me find the picture I want you to look at here. Hang on here. Let me get to it. Where is it? Ah! No, that's not it. Here we go. Let me put this on the screen for you so you can see what I'm talking about. There's my screenshot right there. That, my friends, is a picture of a hurricane. Right there in that little circle, let me circle it here so you can see where my mouse is. Right in that circle, there is a low pressure, a low air pressure system. the air pressure is lower here than it is out here. And because of the difference in air pressure, it causes the water, the moisture in the atmosphere, to condense into these clouds. Now, nobody knows why, however, when they condense and form this hurricane, no one knows why they form this spiral. No one knows. I mean, the low pressure, the change in the air pressure causing the water, the humidity in the air to condense into these very dense, thick clouds. These clouds banding together, dropping large amounts of rain, picked up out of the very warm waters from Western Africa, coming all the way across the Atlantic into the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, we get that part of it. But no one can figure out why they form this particular spiral. Now, let me go back in my pictures here. Let's go and look at this right here. Okay? The same spiral that we saw in that hurricane, you see the exact same, looks like a number six, doesn't it? Okay? You see the exact same spiral here. And it's not just a perfect, how can I say this? The spiral has a ratio to it, a design, a pattern, a numerical signature to it, that whether you're looking at the largest thing in the creation, which are these spiral galaxies, or you're looking at the smallest thing that we can comprehend in God's creation, which is our DNA. DNA is so small that we can't see it. Even with a microscope, we can't see it. But we know that the formation of DNA, when it's rolled up like a scroll, think about that. We know that when it's rolled up like that, there is a numerical pattern to the rolled up DNA. The spiral of DNA. There's a number there. In fact, there's a set of two numbers. And those two numbers match a particular pattern known among mathematicians as the Fibonacci sequence. Now, I'm not saying the Fibonacci sequence, okay? It's not Fibonacci's. The Fibonacci sequence, okay? See all those dots? See all those dots here? Every one of these dots is not a star. Every one of these is a galaxy that looks very, very similar to this. When God said that the company of angels was innumerable, he wasn't kidding. It wasn't a stretch, and it wasn't God expanding the use of language in order to impress us. God does not have to exaggerate his claims. All God has to do is just claim what he's created. And we can see just how huge this universe is compared to us. What is man, David said, that thou art mindful of him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. A little lower? Are you kidding me? Look at all these galaxies. Now, I believe what the Bible says. I believe that stars, here we go, I believe stars are angels. I do. I can't explain that scientifically. I just believe that stars are the hosts of heaven. They are the sons of God, mentioned in the book of Job. The morning stars sang out, the sons of God shouted for joy. I think is how that verse goes. I may have backwards. Satan taking his tail and grabbing one-third of the stars of heaven and casting them to the earth. Are we, what are you kidding? Those are angels. One-third of the angelic realm is going to be cast down to the earth. Now, just to kind of get you to see how big God is. Only God can do the math and figure out exactly how much one-third is of an innumerable amount. The Bible says that we are in the company of an innumerable company of angels. Their numbers cannot be counted. There are so many of them that they're innumerable. And yet, God has a name for every one of them. This is just blowing my mind already. There are so many angels, they cannot be counted. God has a name for every one of them. And God knows exactly how many one-third is of an innumerable company of angels. That blows my mind. I cannot fathom that. That's how much higher God's ways are above our ways and His thoughts above our thoughts. We like to think ourselves as humans because we're at the top of every food chain in the world. Okay? We like to think that we are really something great because we're smarter than monkeys, smarter than dolphins, smarter than bugs, smarter than chickens. We're smarter than dogs, cats, and so on. We can build buildings, we can make tools with our hands and use those tools, and we can do math calculations and so on. But what we cannot do is figure out how much one-third is of an innumerable amount of angels. And it's interesting to me that one-third as a decimal is 33.3. 3333333333333, and that goes on to infinity. Now here is God. God knows where the end of infinity is. God knows where the end of 33.333% is. And God knows how many angels constitute one-third of the angelic realm. So that leaves 66.666666666666% of the angels left in heaven. And God knows the exact number of those angels, and He has a name for them as well. By the way, God is the Most High God, which means that God sits on top of infinity. Okay? He sits wherever infinity ends, God sits at the top of it. He is at the top of everything. And Satan wants to be like the Most High. Sorry, Mr. Devil, you're not near smart enough for that. You're not qualified. Okay? Look at this. 2 Peter 3:5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. How did God make the heavens and the earth? He made them by His word. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let the trees bring forth fruit. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so we understand that by the word of God, that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, here's what I think about my Bible. And I'm talking about my 1611 King James Authorized Bible. I think that because God used his word to create the universe, to me that means that my Bible is the complete and accurate blueprint of everything that exists in creation. Now, I may not understand every aspect of the Bible and how it speaks concerning God's creation. I may not understand it, but I believe that God's word is the blueprint. I'll give you an example. Let's go to, let's get big-faced here and go to Ecclesiastes, all right? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Or as we used to say when I was in school, Ecclesiastics. Okay? Let's see here. Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. If you look in chapter 1, if you look in verse 4, Ecclesiastes 1, verses 4, 5, 6, 7, God is going to, by his word, he's going to explain to you, number one, the science of the water cycle and how Houston ended up with all this water. Where did it come from? It came from the Gulf of Mexico. Hurricane Harvey came past, scooped up that water from the warm waters of the tropical waters of the Gulf of Mexico, scooped up that water, carried it over land, dumped it, and now that water is on its way back to the Gulf of Mexico, right where it started. And Solomon described that letter perfect in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. But, and I don't know that Solomon was aware of this or not, Solomon, in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, was describing how time works. He was. Time always works in a circular fashion. Think of how we measure time. Time is measured by the movements of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And all of those movements are circular. Psalm 19 says the sun goeth in his circuits. We know the moon has a cycle, the same as a female. Human women go in a lunar cycle, a moon cycle. It's where the word moonstrel comes from. It comes from the word moon because it lasts 28 days, and that's how long the moon cycle lasts, 28 days. And there is a waxing and a waning in the moon. There is a waxing and a waning in a woman. And there is that time when that moon is at its peak, and there is a time when a woman is at her peak. It happens every month. But Solomon was explaining time and its cyclical fashion. There, that's the word I'm looking for. Look at it. Verse 4. One generation passeth and away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. It's circular. Verse 5. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down and hasteth to his place where he arose. Now, right here is one of the very key verses of why I do not believe in the flat earth model. I don't believe in the flat earth model, number one, because it's not true. Number two, the flat earth model contradicts Ecclesiastes 1, verse 5. because the flat earth sun never arises and it never goes down. It never does. Now, they will explain to you, the flat earth people will say, well, it all has to do with perspective. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say nothing about the sun appeareth to arise, or it looks like it's rising, and it looks like it goes down. The Bible never, out of all that, and there's dozens of places where the Bible talks about the sun rising and going down in his circuits, and it never says anything about that it's the appearance of rising and going down. It says that it rises, and it says that it goes down. Why don't you believe it? I think you ought to believe the Bible. But anyway, the sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. That is the cycle of the sun, and it's how we measure time. Clocks. Clocks are round. Clocks go, the hands of a clock go round and round, round and round, right? And then verse 6, the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his, there it is, circuits. All the rivers, here it is, run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. And so the Bible, because the heavens and the earth were created by the Word of God then gives you a complete and accurate record of everything, and it's the blueprint of the universe. Everything down, I believe, everything down to the quantum level, I think is explained in the Bible. I think passages that speak of the dust of the earth, there is no definition in the Bible of how small dust has to be in order to be counted dust. And I think it's very possible that if quantum particles do exist, that they are the dust spoken of in the Bible. Now, that's about all I know. But I think the Bible shows the creation, how it works, how it operates. It is the blueprint of everything that God made. And there's not anything that exists that was not made by the Word of God, who is, guess who? Jesus. Look at this. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be lights in the firmament. Now, let's look at this pattern for a minute, okay? By the way, while you're looking at this pattern, this portion of the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast is brought to you by Bananas Foster. This is from outofthegraycoffee.com. And let me see. I'm supposed to read this. Hang on a second. Let me read it. Where is it? Where did I do with my paper? Let me put this down. You get a discount. Here it is. Here we go. Go to outofthegraycoffee.com. If they enter the phrase King James Code, they receive a 10% discount off of their entire order. They'll still be able to participate in the Bank of Java Rewards Program, which allows users to earn free coffee. Are you kidding? And products by writing reviews, referring friends, even purchasing coffee. Everyone seems to love it. This is bananas. I love bananas. And I love banana-flavored things. Bananas Foster is the coffee du jour, all right? Outofthegreatcoffee.com. Enter the code King James Code, 10% discount. SaratogaCrackers.com. I still have the spice and parmesan to the Saratoga brothers. If you'll send me some more of that cinnamon and sugar crackers, okay? I'll really promote them. Because everybody ate mine. Everybody ate my crackers. They're gone. All right? If you have a product or service, and you're a follower of this ministry, and you would like for me to mention you online, send me your product and or your service. because I like getting free stuff. All right. Anyway, here's the pattern. 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, hike, 144, and so on. It's called the Fibonacci sequence, golden ratio, God's ratio. Let me explain it to you. Take this number 0, add it to the next number 1, and you get 1. That's the next number in the sequence. Now go back 1. Take this number 1, add it to this number 1, and you end up with 2. That's the next number in the sequence. So add the 2 to 1, that's 3. Add the 2 to the 3, that's 5. 5 plus 3 is 8. 8 plus 5 is 13. 13 plus 8 is 21. 21 plus 13 is 34. Et al, and so on, ad infinitum. All right? And it just keeps on going. And what you have is a ratio. The ratio is 1 to 1.618. Now, I don't know what's so special about that, all right? But if you take the number 610, if you take 987, let me see if I can do this on my calculator here, okay? Take the number 987. Okay, 987, and you divide it by 610, you get 1.618032.79. Okay, so the next number in the sequence, 610 plus 987 equals 1597. So if you take 1597, and you divide it by 987, you're going to get 1.618. And that's what I got. Okay? That's the ratio. And the further on the sequence goes, the more accurate the ratio becomes to 1.618. All right? So now, there's the guy Fibonacci. Okay? Not much to look at. But let's put it in that spiral. So if we have... We start out with a 1-inch box, or it could be a 1-foot box, or it could be 1 yard, or 1 mile, or 1 parsec, okay, in space. We start out with a box, 1 foot, and then we add, because we're going to add this one box to nothing next to it, so we get 1. So we put another box out there that's 1 foot. All right, 1 foot wide, 1 foot long. Then when we add these two together, the next box we're going to put out is a 2-foot box, because 2 is the product of the two previous numbers, 1 plus 1. The next box that we're going to put out is 3 feet, because 3 is the product of 2, is 2 plus 1. So you see the sequence here, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. Now, here's what I want you to do from here. Notice the pattern. 2 plus 1 is 3. 3 plus 2 is 5. 5 plus 3 is 8. 8 plus 5 is 13. Get a calculator out and do this math. Add the numbers 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, and 13. Add those numbers up. What do you get? 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 is 4, 4 plus 3 is 7, 7 plus 5 is 12, 12 plus 8 is 20, and 20 plus 13 is how much? 33. Think about it. We have the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who is called the Word of God. We know that God created the entire universe by the Word of God. We know that the Word of God was 33 years old when his life ended here on this earth, and I guess you could say at that point he quit having birthdays after he's 33 years old. So he's like perpetually 33. That's his age. That also is the signature that you find all in the creation. Whenever you see this spiral, I want you to notice something. Whenever you see this spiral, it always starts out small in the middle. It expands on this exact same ratio and almost always tails off at the same place every single time. Let me show you. Let me show you that. You see, let's follow this one here. This one starts out in the middle, expands out, and then tails off. You don't see it. It doesn't just keep on going perpetually. It eventually just kind of feathers out toward the end. So you have 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, and then it stops. So the number, the sum of this sequence is 33. And you see that in this cluster galaxy. Now, did this galaxy create itself? No. A billion times no. It couldn't have. How is it that a majority of these galaxies in our universe, all of them have the same spiral ratio? How is that possible? What collective consciousness did the universe have that when, after the alleged Big Bang, all of these galaxies, all of these stars jumped out and formed these clusters of galaxies that are, I mean, these things are huge, and yet they, a majority of them formed Fibonacci ratio spirals, and the signature sum of these is 33. How did they do that? Look at this. Same signature, same spiral, and then it tails off, and you end up with the sum of beauty. The number 33. Romans 1:19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. How is it that that looks like that, and there's not a known correlation between a seashell and a spiral galaxy, other than they were both created by the same artist, Jesus Christ, who was 33 years old. How about that? You can see the spiral. Here it is here. In fact, every one of these little flower petals, you can see the spiral in them. There's multiple spirals, and they all start out here in the middle, and they all go out and tail out and end with this same spiral notation. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. When you add those up, you get 33. Look at here, same thing. See this spiral right here? Let's follow it around. It starts out here, starts out small, and then comes out. And then it stops right here. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. And then it stops. And you have the sum of beauty, 33, in this. There it is again, right there. Starts out small, expands out in the same ratio, 1 to 1.618. And you end up with the sum of that is 33. Look at this. See it right here? Starts out small, expands out in the same ratio, 1 to 1.618. Okay? 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. Jesus, by the way, is the rose of Sharon. Oh, I like that. See, I'd much rather talk about this than going to hell. Okay? I'd rather talk about this than Barack Obama. Look at that. Oh, look at there. By the way, you see a number five here? In fact, that's what you see all throughout this thing. You see, I want to say a pentagram. And the word pentagram simply means a gram means a symbol for, and penta means five. And not every pentagram happens to be evil. In this case here, God is the one who made this. God is the one who created this five figure inside, what is this, avocado? Or asparagus? Is that asparagus? I think it is. God is the one who created that. By the way, I give you another one. It's been known by ancient astronomers and still known today that the star or the planet Venus, sometimes Venus is in the morning sky, sometimes Venus is in the night sky. It shifts back and forth in a cycle. And they call it a planet because the Greek word planet means wandering star. Because they noted that some of the lights in the sky didn't move in the same circle that the rest of them did, like Orion and the Big Dipper and Arcturus and so on. And they noticed that the planet Venus, sometimes it would appear at night, sometimes or in the morning, sometimes in the evening. And they noticed that it made a motion. And every 8 years, the planet Venus draws a near-perfect pentagram in the sky. Now, who did that? Was it Lucifer? Was it the Illuminati? Was it NASA? No, it was God who did that. God is the one who put those luminary objects in the sky, set them in their motion, in their course, and gave them their own unique pattern. God did that, not the devil. Now, the devil loves to take that and make it so that it worships him and gives him glory, but he had nothing to do with it. It was God who did that. So God took this planet, second one closest to the sun, and made it every 8 years, it draws a pentacle up in the sky. And God is the one who did that. God, and by the way, an apple. If you cut an apple in half, not from the top to the bottom, but roll it over on its side and cut it in half, you know what you'll see inside there? You'll see that the seeds of an apple form exactly the same pattern as what you see here, the number five. Okay? By the way, the name Christ, you know what? I'll show it to you. I'll put it on the screen here. C-H-R-I-S-T is found exactly 555 times in the King James Bible. You know what I see here? I don't see a symbol for Lucifer. I don't think that by eating asparagus makes you part of the Illuminati. I don't think that. I think it shows the handiwork of God. I think the signature of the Creator is in there. The number five? Think about it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to eat asparagus for all of eternity. Okay? Anyway, 5 is a Fibonacci sequence number. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5. Let's see. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5. 5 is the 5th Fibonacci number. Okay, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5. Okay, it's the 5th Fibonacci number, and it itself is a Fibonacci number, the number 5. And God put that along with the spiral whose sum is 33 right inside there. It, folks, it's absolutely glorious to see the hand of the Creator in this. You could look at it like the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. That's God's law. The 5 wise virgins have oil in their lamps, and they are ready to go to meet the bridegroom. The 5th time Noah's name is mentioned, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Christ, 555 times in the Bible. All the forms of the word righteous. Let me show you that one too. Okay, Christ, 555 times. Let me show you this. RIGHTEOUS asterisk. 555 times exactly in the King James Bible. It's just unbelievable. Those are facts. What you're looking at is a fact. What you do with that fact is your business. I choose to worship the Lord with numbers. Okay? God is a God of order. God is a God of structure. God is a God of mathematical precision. And only God can make everything in the universe have his signature in it. Look at here. The tale of a karma chameleon. Okay. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. Ah! Look at here. The waves start out with a little curl right here. Spiral out. Same signature. Same ratio. Same sum. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. And you get the number 33 out of that. You add them together. It's the sum of beauty is what it is. Everything in the creation has this signature in it. And it's a very beautiful, eye-catching, eye-pleasing spiral, isn't it? I mean, it looks beautiful. The form of it is very appealing to us. All right? Look at that. Water down the drain. Let's follow this spiral right here. Let's follow it. It goes in. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. 13, and you add them up and you get the number 33. Let's see. Jesus is the water of life. Water shows the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, because water is 2 parts hydrogen, and hydrogen, the number, on the periodic table of elements, hydrogen's number is 1 because it has 1 electron and 1 proton. And so Jesus said, I and the Father are 1. So in the water molecule, you have 2 hydrogen atoms and 1 oxygen atom, H2O. Oxygen then would be the spirit. And when you have all 3 of those together, you have water. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And then verse 8 says, for there are three that testify in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Again, Paul said in Romans that when we look in the creation, you can see the Creator, even His eternal power and Godhead, which is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And that's what you see when you look at the water molecule. H is hydrogen. There's two of them. I and the Father are one. It's Jesus and the Father. And then you have the Spirit in the form of oxygen. I just love this stuff. By the way, oxygen is, what is it, number 8? 8 is a number for new life, new beginnings. Okay? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. You see, everything that we've seen here relates to life. This is living. That's living. That's living. That's living. That's living. It all relates to life, including water. Without water, there is no life. Who is it that designs waves? Is it just how the universe is? Or did the waves themselves have a designer? Oh, they have a designer, all right. Their designer is the Creator who put the sum of beauty in His creation. His signature is in His creation. And so every one of these relates to life. Now, like I said, DNA is like a scroll. You take a scroll, which made out of paper, papyrus, or vellum. You write out the words, and then you roll the scroll up. The scroll, by its very nature and character, the scroll of paper, is going to take on the Fibonacci sequence. Take a long roll of paper, or a sheet of paper, and roll it up as best you can, and then just kind of let it go. If it'll stay somewhat in that shape, it is going to be very, very similar to the same ratio that's in the Fibonacci sequence, 1 to 1.618 or 1123581333. And by the way, Jesus 33 is the Word of God. Let me show you this. Man, I love this. Let's type in the name Jesus Christ 196 times. That's 49 times 4. Let's sweep it with the besom of destruction. Type in the word Son of Man 196 times. 49 times 4, 7 times 7 times 4. Sweep that with the besom of destruction. Type in the phrase book or books. Add an asterisk. I must have it spelled wrong. O-O-K, Mike. 196 times exactly. Who designed that? Who put that in your Bible? Was it King James? Was it the Freemasons? Was it Francis Bacon? Who was it? Was it the Illuminati? No, somebody did. Somebody put those numerical patterns in the Bible. I think that only God is smart enough to know how to do that and make all the words come out right. No matter how you look at it, God's book and God's word has a pattern to it, an order to it, a structure to it. God's word does not return to Him how? Void. There is no chaos with God's word. Therefore, there is no void or chaos in what that word performs. Now, you can take this and you can say to yourself, you know what? If God even has so much concern for his creation, that he even puts an order in the publication of his Bible, then surely God cares about even the trivial matters of my life. I believe he does. And if you ever find yourself in a situation where it seems like all is void, chaotic, confused, open up your Bible, read it, believe it, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read, and let God create order out of that chaos. God will do it better than the Freemasons will. Somebody say amen. Look at that. You know what that is? That, my friends, is an umbilical cord. Somebody said an unbiblical cord. Okay? Watch this now. I want to show you how special you are. The way that the mother connects to the child needing life, the baby in her womb can only receive life from the mother. And it can only receive it by way of the umbilical cord. And that umbilical cord just happens to be exactly like a rolled up scroll or a spiral galaxy or the spiral of a wave or water. And think about heaven. Jerusalem above is our mother. We can only receive life from our mother. And she gives that to us by way of the Word of God sent down to us from heaven. You see, I'm not nourished in my soul by anything from this world. I'm nourished in my soul from heaven itself. And my mother, Jerusalem above, sends down the life-giving things that I need by way of the Word of God. The umbilical cord, Fibonacci spiral, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. And the baby receives life by way of that. Look at that. Look at that. The way an infant, this is an embryo. Here's the very base of the spine. And it starts out small, spirals out big, just like the Fibonacci sequence, people. And we're supposed to believe that this all just happens by way of evolutionary forces that we cannot understand. That's stupid. It's stupid to think that a developing fetus inside of a mother's womb who's being fed from a cord whose spiral matches that of a scroll or of water or of everything else in the universe, including a spiral galaxy. It's ridiculous to think that that developing fetus, who just happens to form in the same spiral as the galaxy does, and we're supposed to think this is all by accident. Come on. Get real. By the way, did you even know that the very hairs of your head are numbered? My oldest son's boys, my son Matthew and his two sons, Hunter and Awesome Lawson, that's what I call him. The back of their head looks, I mean, they have the most perfect Fibonacci spiral on the back of their head. It absolutely is amazing to me. Every time I look at those boys, I got to look at that spiral because I'm just in awe of it. The very hairs of your head are what? They're numbered. Now, God not only knows the exact number of the quantity of the hairs of your head, He also knows the sum of the ratio that one hair has to the other hair. And isn't it amazing that even in how the hair grows out of the head, that there's a spot, every guy knows this, you can take your finger and you can go right to it. Most, and a lot of you guys listening to me right now are going, you're doing exactly what I'm doing. You can go to that spot. See, that spot even feels differently, doesn't it? Now, I don't know if it's on ladies. I'm not a lady. Never been one. Don't plan on being one. But I know us guys, we've got that little Fibonacci hole right there in the back of our head. And to touch it and scratch it, it even feels differently than the rest of our scalp. And from that point, all of the hairs go out in a Fibonacci swirl. Now, I've seen some of the older guys that are losing the hair on top. Their swirl goes around a lot longer than the number 33, I can tell you that.
Okay?
Just saying. Look at that. Look at that. Same spiral. Same numerical ratio. Same sum of beauty, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. The number 33. The Creator left His signature on His creation, people. Look at that. Look at that. There's actually two galaxies that have run into each other. Okay? Man. And the spiral. Same spiral. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. Jesus, the Creator, left His signature in His creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Look at that. Look at that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. Look at that. This is not accidental. This is not the conclusion of a big bang, of an accidental explosion 13 billion years ago, and they all just happened to show up like this. Oh no, this was done by somebody with knowledge. So that's what that means. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language, or their voice is not heard. Day unto day uttereth speech. That means every time the sun rises and the sun sets and the sun rises again, and then you see the moon come out and you see the phases of the moon, and then you see the stars and you see that they go in order as well, they're uttering speech. They're showing you that they were created by somebody who is really smart.
night unto night showeth knowledge. However the heavens ended up the way they did, it had to be done by someone with knowledge. Or how else would they all end up looking exactly the same? There's no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Look at this. I love this. Isaiah 34:4 and Revelation 6:14 are the two verses in your Bible that say that the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. Now, I counted the number of the words from Isaiah 34:4 and Revelation 6:14. The total number is 66 exactly. And Revelation is the 66th book of the Bible. The heaven, the galaxies already look like a scroll rolled together. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. In other words, you got a scroll laid out over a table and it's spread out there. That's how the heavens are. They're spread out. And apparently, something that God's going to do, which is going to blow my mind when it happens. If we are alive on this earth, when God does that, I think we're just going to go, whoa, look at, whoa. Kind of like we did, you know, in the eclipse. We were all standing there in awe going, wow, wow, look at that, that's cool. We couldn't help it. That wasn't, we weren't going, okay, now when the eclipse starts, Lisa, you say wow three times. And then Caleb, you say wow, wow, like that. And then Chris, you scream real, we didn't do that. We were overwhelmed with what we were seeing. And at some point, the heavens now, they're all laid out. And in Revelation 6, Isaiah 34, the heavens are going to be departed. They're going to roll up like a scroll. That just blows my mind. How God is going to do that right in front of our eyes. Absolutely. By the way, 66 words here. Count them up. Oh, looky here. How many black keys on the piano? Well, there's two here. That's a Fibonacci number. There's three here. That's a Fibonacci number. There's five total. See, this is an octave. This is C, D, E, F, G. And then it starts again, A, B, C. This is a perfect octave. Eight notes here. Two notes here. Three notes here. So that's five. So we have the Fibonacci sequence, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 notes added to the 5 black notes. That gives you 13, which means that the signature in the octave of notes, the sum of that is 33. And who gave us music? It wasn't Satan. It wasn't Lucifer. It was Jesus. Do you know Jesus sings? Oh, I can't wait. See, I like to hear good guys sing. I'm not a big fan of opera, but I do like to listen, like to Pavarotti sing Nessun Dorma, okay? Andrea Bocelli. I like to hear these tenors sing these really high notes, okay? But I can't wait to hear Jesus sing. Oh, that would just, if all God did
was let me go to heaven for one day and listen to Jesus sing. And then he just annihilates me and I don't enjoy any more of heaven after that. I think I would have enjoyed the eternity all in one day of just hearing Jesus sing. But people, who designed the music notes? You say, well, you know, Cristofori, he invented the piano, so I would say Cristofori. Cristofori only worked with the notes that he had. The way musical notes are laid out, they were not invented by man. For somehow, some way, the relationship between one note on the piano to the next note, there is a numerical sequence of the number of cycles that the waves are sent out. Okay? I don't know if I explained that very well. But if you listen to one note on the piano, like the C note, and then the D above it, it just sounds right. Sounds perfect. Anything less than that note doesn't sound right. We're not able to discern any good music out of that. For some reason, along with all of the stars just happening to fall in place, all of a sudden now, how did the universe create the tones of the notes on a musical scale by accident? And every time we sing or play an instrument, we are all singing or playing these exact notes. How did the universe create that? It didn't. The Creator just happened to have left his signature on the musical notes. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. Equals 33. Man, there it is. There is the whirlwind. That's what destroyed New Orleans, Louisiana. That's what destroyed Houston, Texas. Was that whirlwind? How did the universe know to put water droplets in clouds and form that exact? I mean, look at the ratio. You have the spiral, starts out small, it expands out toward the end, and then it stops. Look at it. It doesn't keep on going and going and going. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. You see, every whirlwind has the number 33 in it. It has that Fibonacci spiral in it. Every one of them. Twice, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Twice he said that. When you have two whirlwinds, and both of them have the numerical signature of 33 in it, what's 33 plus 33? By the way, Jesus came the first time. He's coming again. 33, 33, 66. Look at your ear. The ear has the same spiral. Same signature, same ratio, same pattern. 33. And how many ears do you have? 2. What does that make? 66. Just like God speaking to Job out of the whirlwind twice. So number 33 plus the number 33. The number 33 plus the number 33 here in your ears. Even in the ear canal. Notice the spiral inside of there. Okay? It looks like a trumpet. All right? So you hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Your ear is shaped after the Fibonacci spiral. Okay? Your ear canal, your cochlea, same spiral inside your ear. There it is. Day unto day utter a speech, not unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not what? Heard. So the Gallister Clux, the Galax or Clusties, the galaxy clusters, Fibonacci spiral, 33, speaking into the ears of us humans, hearing them in our cochleas, making that same spiral. Look at a ram's horn. Look at that. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. Making that 33. And how many do they have? 2, 66. Are you starting to pick up on a pattern here? Are you starting to figure this out? And it shall come to pass that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. There's the ram's horn. It's got the Fibonacci spiral going. There's two on every ram. And the cochlea picks that up. The ear picks it up. Has the 33 spiral in it. Your cochlea has the 33 spiral in it. Make thee two trumpets of silver. The trumpet is a picture of the word of God. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. My goodness. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This is John, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, like a ram's horn, whose spiral equals the sum of 33. And because there's two of them, that makes 66. And Revelation just happens to be the 66th book of the Bible. Do you believe it? Do you believe there's an order? Do you believe there are patterns? Do you believe that God speaks in order? I don't think we can grasp the totality of the riches of God's word. DNA. The Fibonacci sequence from 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13 extends to 21 and 34. Because 13 plus 8 is 21. And 21 plus 13 equals 34. So DNA across the base happens to be 21 angstroms wide. And from the bottom of a spiral, when the DNA makes one helical turn, one complete turn, it is exactly 34 angstroms tall. Now, DNA has a machine that unwinds it and reads the DNA. We've talked about that before. I may do that again. And then when it binds it back together, it just happens to roll up in this exact same fashion. So that it always is 21 angstroms wide and 34 angstroms tall. Always is. And who determined that? Who created that? Who made that pattern? Who did it that way? God did. Because DNA is the book. It's the scroll of God with his words in it. And those words are the words of God, bearing God's signature. Okay? You know what? I want to do something. I want to switch keys here. Because I want to get to that chimera thing. Let's see here. What else do I need to put on the screen here? Oh, here we go. Let me put that up there. Let's see here. Let me get this article out and read it. So you'll know what's going on in this world right now. I've said this before, that everything that science discovers about the universe that we live in, it just seems to me that with all these scientific breakthroughs and all these scientific studies and all the advancements in knowledge that people are gaining, none of them disprove the Bible. Now, some of them try, but none of them succeed in disproving the Bible. Everything that I can see shows the handiwork of God, and it shows that this Bible is right. It's right in everything that it says. When they start talking about DNA, and they start talking about the genetic sequence, and then they explain to us that this genetic sequence, how the genes are read, is that because DNA just happens to be written like a book. I mean, there are like chapter and verse divisions in it. There are stop codons and start codons, which means that the RNA polymerase, which is that machine that reads DNA, the RNA polymerase, when it sees the start codon, it's a sequence that it recognizes, and it starts reading what comes right after that, because the RNA polymerase knows that when it reads the start codon, that we're going to start with a pattern of adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. And whenever that RNA polymerase reads that code, it knows it reaches the end of it because it reaches what's called a stop codon. Now, here's something interesting to me. That in a combination of base pairs that make an amino acid, make a letter, an amino acid that makes up, that when the amino acids are in a certain group, that's what makes the genes, that's what tells what kind of hair color you have, whether you're going to have curly hair, you're going to be tall or short or whatever. That those base pairs making one amino acid, between the adenine, the thymine, the guanine, and cytosine, and between adenine on this side, or can it be adenine on this side, can it be thymine on this side, or thymine on this side, or whatever, that when it makes an amino acid, that just because there's four base pairs, and the four base pairs can be anywhere in that sequence, there's 64 different combinations of sequence pairs that can be made with these four bases on these two sides. 64 different combinations. If you take those 64 different combinations, which basically makes the letters of the gene code, the amino acids, add to that the sequence that makes the start codon and the sequence that makes the stop codon, you have 66. It's the number of books in your Bible. It's the number of chapters in the book of Isaiah. My Bible matches my DNA in how it's printed, how it's laid out, how it sequences, how it reads how it manufactures proteins. My Bible matches my DNA perfectly. So, can I call the DNA that's in my body, can I truly say that it's my DNA, when in fact, I didn't have anything to do with it? God is the one who wrote it. In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. That's Psalm 139:16. God is the one who wrote my DNA. And when God writes a book, it doesn't matter if it's this Bible that I have or it's my gene sequences, my own DNA. When God writes a book, he does it the same way every time. Same way. So, my DNA that's in my body is actually not mine. The copyright belongs to God. Now, listen to this story. U.S. clears breakthrough gene therapy for childhood leukemia. Opening a new era in cancer care. U.S. health officials on Woden's Day approved a breakthrough treatment that genetically engineers patients' own blood, their own blood cells, into an army of assassins, like ninja blood cells. I have, let's see here, I have a sound effect for that. Where is it? Ninja, where are you, ninja? Here you go. An army of assassins to seek and destroy childhood leukemia. The Food and Drug Administration called the approval historic. The first gene therapy to hit the U.S. market. Made from scratch for every patient, it's one of a wave of, quote, living drugs. That gets some music here. And you can hear the music now. Living drugs. It's one of a wave of living drugs under development to fight additional blood cancers and other tumors. Novartis Pharmaceuticals. Do you know what Novartis logo is? If I remember right, the Novartis logo, I think, is the golden calf that they made in Israel. Let me look that up. No, I was wrong. I was thinking it was the bull. What company, what pharmaceutical company uses the bull? Novartis. I don't know what that symbol is. I'm going to have to dig into that. That's got me interested now. Anyway, Novartis Pharmaceuticals set the price for its one-time infusion of so-called CAR-T cells. C-A-R-T cells. Wait till you find out what the CAR stands for. I'll tell you in a minute. The so-called CAR T cells, the infusion, costs only $475,000. How nice of them. But said there would be no charge for patients who didn't show a response with it. In other words, now, we guarantee that if our cancer treatment does not stop your cancer and you actually die, we won't charge you a dime. Yeah, right. This is a brand new way of treating cancer, said Dr. Stephen Grupp of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, who treated the first child with the CAR-T cell therapy, a girl who had been near death but is now cancer-free for 5 years and counting. That's enormously exciting, he said. He wet himself a little when he said it. Now, I want you to get this. Let's use the scenario of a child dying. Because I can tell you, I've been through this. There's nothing more heart-wrenching than the dying of a young child. It kills you. I mean, it alters you permanently. Having a child die, a grandchild. I lost a grandchild. It kills me to think about it. I hate it. All right? And people would do anything to keep their child, their baby, from dying. People have taken the extreme measures of donating one of their own kidneys to their child, so their child has a chance to live. Adults would sacrifice themselves, if necessary, to make a child live. There's nothing that I can think of more heart-wrenching than watching your child die. So when they started the genetic alterations, they didn't start with the older folk. No. They went after the baby. They found the sickest child that they could find. One of them that was near death. And they cured her. They cured her leukemia. That's unheard of. The CAR T treatment uses gene therapy techniques not to fix disease-causing genes, but to turbocharge T cells, immune system soldiers that cancer too often can evade. Researchers filter those cells from a patient's blood, reprogram them. You know what that means? Rewrite their genetic code. Change them. Listen to this now. Listen to where the CAR comes from. I'm going to get my finger on the button here. Researchers filter those cells from the patient's blood, reprogram them to harbor a chimeric antigen receptor. Chimeric comes from the word chimera. You know what a chimera is? A chimera is an animal, a creature that is a jumbled mess of different animals glued together in the same body. A chimera can be part chicken and part wiener dog. Okay? It can be part pig and part buffalo and part snake. And the possibilities are endless. No one ever succeeded in getting a dog to mate with a horse. They couldn't give the dog enough incentive to mate with a horse. The smell wasn't right. That's because God designed dogs to stay within their kind. And horses stay within their kind. And how do they know their kind? By the odor, by the smell. So they never could get it accomplished until now. Now, we can take a laboratory and we can take monkey DNA and pig DNA and wiener dog DNA and elephant DNA and gorilla DNA and paramecium DNA, and we can make whatever weird, freaky creature that we want to, including alter the DNA of your T cells to make a chimera antigen receptor, or CAR, that zeroes in on cancer and grow hundreds of millions of copies. Then they returned it to the patient. The revved up T cells can continue multiplying to fight disease for months or years. It's a completely different way to harness the immune system than popular immunotherapy drugs called checkpoint inhibitors that treat a variety of cancers by helping the body's natural T cells better spot tumors. CAR T cell therapy gives patients stronger T cells that do the job. Chimeric antigen receptors. The chimera part is what has me worried. Now, DNA is a book. DNA is God's book. And God, of course, has rules. The rules are Revelation 22. If any man shall add to the words of the prophecy of this book, I will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, I will take away his name out of the book of life. That's what God said. God said, this is my book. I wrote it. You do not have the right to change it, to add to it, or to take away from it. Leave it the way you found it. I mean, imagine this. You go to the library. You pull a book off the shelf and you're flipping through it and you say, oh, I might read this book. And you open the book and you see that the book has dirty words in it. Well, that just kind of flips you off because you're going, I don't think they ought to have books in here with dirty words in it. So, you take a page out of that book and you just rip the page out, wad it up, put it in your pocket. And you go through the book again and you find other pages and you rip them out. And now somebody notices you and they go get the librarian. The librarian comes by and sees you ripping pages out of the book. The librarian says to you, sir, what are you doing? Well, this book's got things in it I don't like. It's got filthy words in it. I don't think people ought to be reading this. I'm taking it out. Sir, you can't do that. Well, yeah, I can. Yeah, I can. I'm doing it now. Well, sir, that's not right. You can't do that. That is illegal. That is library property. We're going to make you pay for it. And plus that, the author of that book saw fit to put those words in that book. You ought to, if you don't like it, don't read it. That's my point right there. There are things in my DNA I do not like. More things than I want to talk about. I can tell you that right now. I do not have the right to take out or put anything in my DNA because I didn't write it. God did. God had a reason for everything that is in my DNA. God has a reason for it being there. This is where I'm learning to trust God more and more with my life. The more things I find out about me, the less I like me. God's plan. God wants me to realize, Mike, you're nothing. I'm everything. And so now, instead of having confidence in me, I put my confidence in the Lord and I trust Him. As hard as it is for me to say this, God had a reason for taking my 5-week-old granddaughter to heaven. I don't know what that purpose was, but I know that God is able to calculate 1/3 of the angelic realm that is innumerable. So I recognize that God actually is smarter than me. Because he's smarter than me, I just learned to trust him. I may not like it, but I trust him. And I trust that what God put in my DNA, he did it for a reason. Legally and morally, I have no right to question that. No right to take out what I don't like, put in what I want. I don't have a right to do that. God said in his word, Deuteronomy 22:9, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Your vineyard, look at here. How is it that grapevines just look like DNA? That's that Fibonacci spiral. That's that sequence. The signature of God in all of his creation. Right there. And God said, when you plant a vineyard, make sure if you're going to have Concord grapes, make sure that all the seed that goes out there is Concord grapes. And if you want some other kind of grape, fine. Find another section and plant that. But don't mix the seeds together. Now, you know, you can say, well, that means, you know, don't mix the grape seeds in with the turnip seeds. Yeah, I get that. I get that. I mean, it would be confusing, right? Sure, I get it. But now look at it from what we now know we can do with seeds. We can take a grape seed. We can take the DNA of a grape. And they now know how to add, get ready now. They can add human DNA to grape seed DNA. Ugh. They can do it. They've been doing it with rice. There's God only knows around the world what government, China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Pakistan, what government lab somewhere is experimenting, mingling vegetation seeds, grape seeds, turnip seeds, radishes, beets, tomatoes, celery, wheat, barley, mingling that with donkey DNA, gorilla DNA, hog DNA, chicken DNA. It's like take wheat and the wheat seed and mix it with chicken DNA, and you can have chicken and a biscuit right out there in the field. Or you take wheat DNA in the seed and mix it with pig, and you have pigs in a blanket out there. Or cow DNA, mix it with corn, you can have beef tacos growing right out in the field. I mean, we're being funny here, but how much freaky are we going to get in this world? Now that we know how to do it, we are living in the world that is on the verge of a foundational transformation, the likes of which has never been seen on this planet. We don't have a history of knowing how it turns out when we start mingling all of these DNAs together. We have no idea what's going to happen, how that's going to upset the balance of nature. We have no idea. But we're doing it. And then we're taking our precious children. And we're turning their cells into chimeras. And then for $500,000, you can have that put back into your child's body. Again, I know what it's like to lose a child and to deal with a child's death. But I'm telling you, I would rather every one of my grandchildren end up in the arms of Jesus Christ than for them to be experimented on by scientists who would alter their genetics, having no idea what could happen as a result of that. No way, no how. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Likewise, this is Jude. This is concerning what's coming in the future. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Now, I want to give you a scenario. Something to think about. We know that God made a list, gave it to Moses, of all of the animals that God said, they're unclean. We know that hogs are on that list. We know that catfish, and I like catfish. Catfish were on that list because they didn't have scales. We know that oysters, and I like oysters, and mussels, and I like mussels, and clams, and I like clams, and lobster, and I like lobster, and shrimp, and I like shrimp, and crab legs, and I like crab legs. I mean, all that stuff I like. God said that's on the list. That's unclean. He also said hawks and eagles were unclean. To be honest with you, I didn't go to Kentucky Fried Eagle. Okay, the other day. Never been there. God said they're unclean. God said don't eat them. I'm wondering. This is the temple. We would be defiled by those things entering into the temple, correct? Let me just throw a thought out at you, and then I'm going to get out of here. Sweetie Pie Day is tomorrow, okay? What if scientists were able to discover a cure for all diseases, all infirmities of the flesh, aging? Scientists discovered a cure for aging. And they found it because through experimentation over the course of a few years, they came up with a chimera DNA cocktail. A configuration of DNA sequences that came from catfish, eagles, hawks, owls, vultures, pigs, crabs, clams. What if the scientists came up with a DNA cocktail that contained DNA from every animal that was on the list of unclean beasts that God said defiled the temple? You know, I may be way off. I may be so far undersighted, okay? Or I may be just aiming blindly here. But it wouldn't surprise me if somehow, some way, every animal on the unclean list and their DNA actually had something to do with defiling the temple of God. Something to think about. The bottom line is, God said, don't defile that temple, don't defile the flesh. And the only way that I know of defiling the temple of God is altering the way that temple is built. And the way that temple is built is done by the Word of God. Just like the universe, just like the creation, the heavens, created by the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is the blueprint for everything in God's creation. And it is the blueprint for our bodies, the temple. Man shouldn't alter it. Watchman video broadcast coming out this Sunday. It is the rewrite of the script on witches and wizards that God gave me. Okay? You're going to love it. I promise you, you're going to love it. Coming out. Lindsay's working on it right now. Coming out this Sunday. You pray for us. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your support. You are the reason why we do what we do here, and it is my pleasure to be your pastor and to be your friend as we study and examine the Word of God together in preparation for times that the likes of which have never been seen before. Pray for the survivors of Hurricane Harvey. All right? God bless you. I love you. We'll see you. Think Bible.